On the phone now to Democratic Representative Joan Bauer of Lansing. Good evening, Joan. How are you?
I'm good, Cheryl. How are you?
It's the end of another incredibly busy week at the House, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You are also on the Appropriations Committee, and the House is taking up the Appropriations Committee looking at changes in health care benefits for public employees. This has gotten a lot of attention the last week or so.
Right.
You're hearing testimony from supporters and opponents alike. What are you hearing as these discussions get underway?
Well, Cheryl, at this point, I mean, to sort of frame this issue, obviously for us in Ingham County, we have probably more state employees than any other county in the state of Michigan, naturally. So, you know, in my district, you know, I take very seriously, you know, my responsibility to state workers as constituents. So I'm very troubled by this bill. And what this bill would do is, in essence, really end retiree health care for a number of state employees, just depending on how long you've been there and if you're on defined benefit or defined contribution plan. So we did hear from the budget director, Mr. Nixon, you know, talked about it and, you know, from his perspective, why he feels it's important to do this. And then we did hear from, I think, testimony from four other people, a couple of state employees, a couple of union representatives who, you know, who also talked about it. So it certainly is going to be a hot topic in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and as you mentioned, Budget Director John Nixon, he's been quoted as saying this isn't something we're trying to jam down people's throats. It needs to be debated. But he also makes the point that it's needed because the current retiree health care system is a $14.5 million liability to the state.
Right, right. And we know that, I mean, health care is very expensive, but for anybody in any plan, one of my concerns with this bill is that we're not taking a look at how we reduce healthcare costs. You know, that's another bigger issue that we should be dealing with at all levels. So, I mean, I think that's a piece that's not in this. I think at a time, Cheryl, when we know how important healthcare is to people, it just seems like it's the wrong move to be leaving people high and dry who were anticipating planning on health care when they retired. And from what I understand, in 1997, when the state ended the defined benefit plan and now is defined contribution from anybody going forward from 97, and we were one of the first states to do that, that one of the promises, and this has been pretty substantiated that this was made to employees, is, you know, this may be something that you don't like seeing in terms of your retirement benefits, but we promise that we'll keep health care. So for a number of employees, I'm sure this feels like, you know, a promise that's been broken.
Well, and that is certainly understandable from the employees' point of view, excuse me. The whole subject is a little bit difficult to get a hold of and hard to understand because, as you
right.
said, you know, defined benefits and contributions
going
through it all. But it kind of boils down, if I'm understanding it correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that employees, as you alluded to, hired before 97 would retain full retiree health care benefits, and those hired after would receive a lump sum that's kind of put in a health reimbursement account at retirement. But the question, I guess, at that point is there enough to cover any of these costs
right.
in reality at that point?
Right. And for those employees who were hired in before 97, they have a choice to stay with the current plan. But if they stay on their defined benefit plan, they will begin paying 4% of their salary to their retirement benefits, not health care, but mm-hmm. to their pension. So, and then they could also choose at that point to switch to a defined contribution plan, and then they would keep their retiree health benefits. Anybody after 97, it gets very complicated, actually, from 0 to 4 years. So if you've only hired in the state within the last 4 years, upon retirement, assuming you retire from the state, you would get $2,000, period. Just a flat $2,000, which is really a joke. I mean, what can you do as it relates to health care? I don't even think that would pay for 6 weeks of physical therapy, $2,000. So that, and then any, and then for our employees between, you know, 4 years and anybody who started in 97, they would have that money that they've, that right now that they've earned toward health care, that would be accrued in an account that, as you say, is a health reimbursement account that they would get if they retired from the state, which, you know, and there's different ways to do that, 30 and 55 and different combinations of retirement. But you have to have been at the state for quite a long time. But the tables that we look at from House Fiscal Agency, even someone who has stayed quite a while, I mean 30 years and it's frozen right now, might have $55,000 in this account. And, you know, that doesn't buy very much health care for very long.
Well,
if you're retiring before, you know, before you can get Medicare. So it really is a, you know, it's a blow for employees, and it's also, you know, there will then be more people either who then have to work a lot longer, so they're not going to be leaving employment at 55 thinking, well, you know, I can retire because I have health care, because that's a huge consideration when people decide they're going to retire. So I worry, I think there's some other unintended consequences here. You know, is it going to keep people in the workforce a lot longer, meaning that we don't have jobs available for younger workers? So it's going to be a very interesting debate and discussion that, as you said, we just began the testimony next Wednesday. We'll be hearing more testimony. And then, but I do think it's fast-tracked. I mean, I think they would like to get this passed.
My understanding is there's a July 1st deadline in the bill in its current form. So they're, fast-track, I guess.
In the bills, they say employees have to decide between July 1st. I think they have, like, maybe a month or two to decide what to do. It's written so that this will move quickly.
Well, and there's a lot to wade through in a short period of time. You and I are demonstrating that.
Right.
We are. The other big topic of the day, Representative, is the redistricting. And the Republican maps were put out today. What are your thoughts in both the House and Senate? What are your thoughts on some changes coming our way?
Well, I have just barely had time to look at those myself. I mean, I, you know, have read the releases and can see the maps. My real thought on all this is, as you know, Cheryl, whoever is in control when redistricting is done, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, of course they draw those districts to help their party. I think that it's time for some real reform in that area. Last year, Representative Mark Meadows had a bill that didn't go anywhere, but that would have made some changes. I mean, a lot of states have commissions. Some states take it totally out of the legislative, involvement. Mm-hmm. And I think that this, for Michigan, I'm not surprised at, you know, some of the things that are happening with the district lines. I think it really we need some real, true reform and try to take as much of the politics as possible out of it.
Well, and
I'm not sure that's going to happen in the near future, but I really support that. And a number of organizations and nonprofits are pushing that. I wish we would do that.
There are organizations. The one Jocelyn Benson leads. I've had her on the show a couple of times. Where they're public drawn maps, in a competition for everyone to see. So there are those trying to do that as well. As you said, whoever's in control is going to have it lean their way. That just seems to be the history of it.
Right, and they tend to protect the people who are already in office. It's like I say, I think it's time for us. I'd like to see us do some major reform as it relates to who makes decisions on redistricting that would better serve the public.
Better serve the people rather than the parties.
Right, Right, right.
Very good. Well, Representative, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you. Have a maybe this kicks off your weekend, being finished with me now.
it was always a pleasure, Cheryl.
Very good. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.